When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone. Hello, Julie. Welcome to Take the Black Live, the only show on the internet that brings you news about Dragon Space, lasers, and other things that matter. I am Dan Selke, editor of WinnersComing.net, here with Mia Johnson of DarkSideOfTheForce.com. And Mia, how are you doing in this random universe that throws stressors at you and just expects you to take it in and deal with it? How are you faring?
You know what? I'm handling it quite well. You know, I wonder if there's like other planets, like how easy is Earth compared to all the other planets? They just have it like made in the shade on Mars or something. I wonder. Or Tatooine, perhaps.
I would say it's easier in that there is life. You know, on other planets, there isn't life to like be easy or hard. I don't know, going through a lot. Like I have like, I'm getting my COVID shots. I have like a separate medical issue just happening over the same time as this. I'm going to the doctor a lot this past couple. I don't know why. It just all happened at once. And we got a cat. It's not here in the room.
Oh, dang it.
And it's been very loud. I'm not going to lie. I know cats meow, but this cat has been meowing like almost nonstop. And it's been hard to sleep. So. Aww. But it's very cute otherwise.
I love that.
So those are my stressors. Pretty not bad in the grand scheme of things. And hey, everyone. Hey, Diane. Hey, Julie. Today we have, of course, a full, wonderful show for you, full of juicy news, discussion, gossip, opinion, and hot takes. And I thought we'd start, as we love to do, with the World of Ice and Fire, Westeros of Seven Kingdoms, which is getting a renewal of interest and fascination now thanks to the filming of House of the Dragon, HBO's Game of Thrones prequel show set over 100 years before Game of Thrones, when Targaryen fought Targaryen, brother fought brother, half-sister fought half-brother, aunt and uncle, families on dragons fighting each other. It's all happening. And one of the things that has always distinguished Game of Thrones and will distinguish this show is the sheer size of the cast.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think back on the shows that I liked growing up in like the early 2000s, mid 2000s, and like, it was someone like Buffy, which was like, it ran for seven seasons. It had like, you know, a rotating cast of like six main people. Like, that was kind of like the norm. And then Game of Thrones comes in. It's just like, no, you will know all these names of these dozens of characters and you will like it. So we keep getting new people added to the cast. And the most recent one is an actor some of you may recognize. It is Outlander star Graham McTavish, a Scottish actor of 60 some years. There he is in a kilt. I'm going to guess that's from Outlander. I don't actually watch the program. As Dougal McKenzie, he was, I believe, the dwarf Dwalin in the Hobbit movies. He voices one of the dwarfs in the Hobbit movies.
Yeah.
He voices Dracula in the Castlevania show on Netflix. He's one of the who's like been around for a long time. He's done it all. And he looks like the kind of guy who would fit into a Game of Thrones show, don't you think?
I think so, yeah. Looks the part. I had to Google him again. I was like, it looks like he's familiar. I think I'm remembering him from The Hobbit, because it seemed like he's just one of those guys that you've seen. You're like, oh, he looks kind of familiar.
I don't remember any of the dwarves from The Hobbit, except maybe the one who was with the elf lady, and they had the terrible romance. I hate those movies. But anyway, Graham McTavish, a very established talent, a talent who's like often cast in these sort of like kind of fantasy period pieces because he works for them. I mean, look at him.
Yeah.
Like a kind of gruff guy with a beard standing 6'2" in sort of period clothes there. He just looks like he would do well in this sort of milieu.
Yeah.
And people are very excited about it on Twitter. Our tweet about it like blew the hell up.
Wow.
As Lamont says, Dwalin is Balin's younger brother. Super. He's one of the ones with the beard.
Yeah.
And Julie, you remember him. And I know you want to see my cat. Maybe later. Her name is Bobo. We're trying to ease her in. There's a whole naming controversy. I would name her Polly. No, whatever. That's not a hero there. Anyway, he's established. He's good. He's talented. We don't know who he's playing. We have a shot of him actually on set in, you know, an outfit with a robe and a shirt. It's not like we tell much. So what's interesting is that they haven't announced this guy. Like, he's a fairly big name so far as, you know, actors on this level go, but they haven't, he's better known than most of the cast, save Matt Smith, but they haven't announced him, which tells you just how big the cast is. Like, I wonder who else they have in reserve.
Yeah, it sounds like the Knives Out thing, like, they've been slowly dripping out, like, the cast, like, Janelle Monáe, Dave Bautista. So this kind of fascinating to be like,
wait, Janelle Monáe?
That was just announced today.
She's in it?
Or that broke movie today, is at going least. Crazy. Yeah, yeah. But it also reminds me of Obi-Wan because they had like this full casting announcement and they were like, here's this nice graphic, Hayden Christensen and Ian McGregor. But then like Variety or Hollywood Reporter, one of those people also broke that this actress named Maya Erskine is also going to be in it. So I was like, but wait, there's more? So it's kind of fascinating to see this parallel with Game of Thrones to be like, oh, there are going to be some people in this show. And maybe he has a special role. So that's why they've been kind of like tight on it. I don't know.
Speaking of his special role, by the way, Christian had an Uncle Bobo. Good. You know what, Christian? We knew we named her after it. We don't know who he's playing, but we have some good guesses. The internet has some good guesses. So we've gone over, but I always like to recap just so we know everything. Dance of the Dragons, Alison Hightower versus Rhaenyra Targaryen. Yeah. Two people, two sides of a war. They both want the Iron Throne. Rhaenyra for herself, Alison for her son Aegon. Battle. Good times, fun. We think he might be a character named Lionel Strong, who is the Lord of Harrenhal, which appeared on Game of Thrones. That's where Arya was held prisoner for a bit in the second season. Big old castle, huge, burned down by even like Matt Smith Targaryen's ancestors when they came over on dragons. It's been old and ruins for a long time. And the thing with Harrenhal is always that whoever has it is said to be cursed because they tend to like, again, it's very like a Defense Against the Dark Arts kind of thing. Whoever has the Harrenhal is doomed to meet a bad end. And he's no exception. He's the Lord of Harrenhal. He's the father of a character who gets involved with Rhaenyra Targaryen, Emma D'Arcy, one of the main combatants on the black side of things. But maybe, I don't know, he could be Boros Baratheon, a Lord of Storm's End, Robert Baratheon's ancestor, who is one of those guys who kind of plays both sides a little bit in the conflict. Like, when it breaks out, right? They're all like... Yeah. You'll fight with me, right? No, you'll fight with me, right? And if you're some characters are like, of course I'll fight with you. And he's like, let's wait this out, see which side's better.
Ooh, that's always a fascinating character. Kind of like, what is he going to do?
Exactly. Which, and then finally, we got Sir Harold Westerling, the Lord Commander of the Kingsguard under King Viserys Targaryen the First, which we think that's the one because there was like a casting call earlier where it said looking for a guy to play Harold Westerling. He's an older knight. He's like a warrior. Look at this guy. He just gives off warrior vibes. It's because like he's not a very big part of the book, but if I'm right, they're going to take their time in the first season sort of setting up everything before like the actual battling starts. So perhaps they're giving him a juicier part in the first because he dies like pretty early on. I don't think of anything like horribly untoward. I don't recall how he died. I think it was just like, you know, sometimes you die of old age. It happens.
Yeah.
Even on Game of Thrones. So he could. I think he's probably in that role. And the guy who succeeds him as Lord Commander is Criston Cole, who is the guy we've talked about before, the knight who is with Rhaenyra really close, and then this mysterious split, and nobody knows exactly why, but he goes from best of friends, might be in love with her, to total hates her, wants to beat her, sides against her. So the tapestry is being woven, Mia. It's being woven, the tapestry. Are you excited to look at it and untangle the threads of all these people?
Yeah, the more I hear about it, the more excited I am to have something new and have something fresh in the world of Game of Thrones, or at least, you know, see how they execute this new material, because it seems like there is just a huge, you know, field of opportunity that's open to them. And you've got all these interesting characters and so many. Also, like the pacing, like you said, so many ways they can either kind of like rush through a certain point or focus on this, you know, let his character live a little longer. So I, of course, don't know much about the story, but as you unfold it to me, I'm like, I am ready for this.
There's a lot of it. Like, right? Yeah. Like, Game of Thrones is a lot of narrative. It's a lot of character. And this is definitely along those lines. But before we go any further, and I'll talk more about what I mean, let's have a quick word from our sponsor. Manscaped. Let me set the scene for you. You're in a wood. It's dark. It's overgrown. It's crowded with angry brambles and thorns that bite. They pierce you. They bite you. If only you had a weapon to cut through the oppressive thicket and let the forest breathe again. This is a metaphor. And lo, now you do, with a Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0. The best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Trusted by millions of men worldwide, Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your sensitive grooming needs. If you're interested in joining the Brotherhood of the Forest Clearing, we have an exclusive offer. 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIGHTED20 at manscaped.com. And the mighty lawnmower isn't the only Manscaped thing they have to offer. There's also Manscaped deodorant to keep the sacred forest fragrant. And there's also Manscaped toner to tone that same forest. You wouldn't want to be untoned, would you? Get 20% off and free shipping with the code FANSIGHTED20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code FANSIGHTED20. Anyway, yeah. Big story. Hold it together, man. Big story. Big commitment. But again, if they did it for Game of Thrones, why not? Work for this. This is kind of off topic a little bit, but did you read today that Jeff Bezos, head of Amazon, the richest man in the world, or like top three, has everyone making shows for him report to him and make sure they check off this list of like things to have an iconic television show?
Oh, wow.
It was really interesting. It was like,
seems like he's not the person to be making those decisions.
I would agree with that. It seems like he must have other things to care about, Jeff Bezos, than this. But no, it was like protagonist who undergoes change, magical powers. I know, right? It's really vague. You got to have like audience, like a wish fulfillment, so give them some kind of power to do. I'm not kidding. That's what it said.
I can imagine like the USC student, film school, UCLA, who is like looking at these demands like, yeah, duh. Maybe the magic is like the one thing where, depending on the genre, it's like, you don't think we're trying to tell a cohesive story, sir? I would probably be laughing at that. Like, well, maybe not in the writer's room, depending on where you're at, but you know. Sounds dumb to me. I'm sorry.
It sounds dumb to me too. I mean, and yeah. I wonder if like if holding shows to that kind of like, you know, template is gonna crush creativity a bit. But we'll see with this next show that he is making over at Amazon, The Wheel of Time. Definitely the I'm gonna go ahead and say, yeah, definitely the biggest fantasy book series to come out in the last like 30 years, I'd probably say. Like the one that had the most impact. It's like Lord of the Someday we can like rank the biggest fantasy theaters in the world. We can talk about them in depth. That's definitely a big one. Amazon's making a Wheel of Time show. And it will be beholden to Jeff Bezos's checklist of things need to go down. Happily, it's pretty traditional, so I don't think it would have a hard time checking them off. And we're lucky because today, one of those wonderful things happened where a Amazon account from Germany tweeted out a video it shouldn't have and then deleted it like that. But we know this happens, right? It gets in the water. It's in there. We don't get out. That is Rosamund Pike, Academy Award nominee or winner, whatever, Academy Award something. Rosamund Pike as Moiraine Domodred, one of a sorceress character who is kind of like the Gandalf of the story. Before, they showed us like just up close her face. Now we have kind of her outfit, her arms outstretched, doing some magic. Some folk have like said it looks very like Anne Taylor Loft, the outfit, which I think was kind of funny. Like she went and bought that at like an outlet mall. But I think it looks fine. What was really cool, though, was, again, because this is the internet and you get a short little clip, you can look at anything. Some folk like zoomed into the background and they got us our first glimpse of a Trolloc, which is a sort of It's an orc, basically. It is an orc from Lord of the Rings, but they're different and they have animal heads fighting against. There it goes.
Oh, I see it. I have to.
Do you see it?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. People have.
People are good, man. People are talented.
That's hilarious. I was going to make a Bigfoot joke. Like, yeah, it's kind of like, you know, the spotting of Bigfoot, and literally someone in that Twitter thread commented, it looks like the same thing. But wow, eagle eye. Oh my goodness.
I mean, if you give us anything, you know the internet, we'll go for it.
Yeah,
I think it looks pretty cool. It's not really, it's still not enough to like really go off on anything. As Julie says, the trollic claws, I think it looks pretty awesome too, Julie. Like, you can tell it's got like a ram's head or something. And obviously a big hulking beast. And it looks practical. Like, this is like an early shot. You know, there's always a danger in these like big fantasy or sci-fi shows that you think they might try and just like, let's just make everything out of computers and just like put it up there. But that's clearly a guy in a costume, and I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah, like, it's like, you know, making Baby Yoda a puppet or a little Grogu, you know, not going for like the CGI prequels Yoda. I think we've kind of have had enough of the overly CGI sort of things.
I think so.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny how it's kind of turned back from that? Like, back in the day when George Lucas was making his Star Wars prequel movies, like, he was all, I remember he was all about like, the future is all CGI, green screens forever, green screens for everyone. I don't want to have to talk to another human being as long as I live. I would just prefer to put everything in here. And I mean, you could imagine back then that it might have all gone that way. I mean, not just getting better. And I'm happy it didn't. Like, it does look like they're like, not only did kind of more naturalized shooting and sets and effects and everything stick around, there's almost been a revival. I mean, with stuff like Game of Thrones, just famous for going on and kind of going to natural locations.
Yeah.
Or The Mandalorian now. I mean, it has like a really advanced scientific thing where it kind of projects the background under it, but it made sure to still keep the realistic feel.
Exactly.
Or like Chloe Zhao, who was just one for Nomadland, making the Eternals. She's huge on natural location shots. So I am big on it. Yeah. I like that George Lucas's prophecy did not come to pass.
Yeah. Just really quickly, this is like almost skipping ahead to what are we watching? Because I watched The Mummy Returns for the first time over the weekend. Loaded with CGI to the point where that's where like they had The Rock as the Scorpion King, just like so terribly, you know. So yeah, practical effects, I'm all in for. There are some instances where CGI comes in. Like, I had just seen a post where someone was saying in The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, like when they were having that big fight on top of the big red truck, like the scenery was CGI,
which
you would never have guessed. But I think, you know, there's a time and a place. So
it's like, and you can use CGI now to augment what you have, but not, it hasn't gone the way of like, it's just everything it is.
Right.
I mean, for that, there's animation.
I think we have a great
segue. And of course,
segue.
It makes it harder, some things, but
yeah.
I mean, because it's real people. But I'm very much glad it's still in the conversation. I'm glad people like, you know, Game of Thrones are still pushing for it. And I think House of Dragon, too. It's like, it's all been natural locations. They haven't really seen a lot of green screen stuff. So cool on that. All right, Mia, what should we talk about next?
Let's talk about a CGI superhero, anti-hero, anti-villain.
Let's do that. Yeah, a lot of trailers coming out. I think some of them look pretty good. We thought we'd take a quick look at one of the big ones from this month. Who's going to go see Venom 2, Let There Be Carnage? That's a real... Okay, Mia. So Mia Lee... Tee us off.
All right. Should I set the clip? I mean, yeah, Venom 2, it's coming out. It was delayed, obviously, because of COVID. And now we've got Eddie Brock and Venom are back, and they're better than ever. So
yeah.
I think we've got a clip.
So, Mia, what makes you interested in Venom 2? Because I'll be honest, I don't know. I could probably live without it. It's like Marvel is like filet mignon. And like DC is like a decent sirloin, and Sony is like the spam of the superhero.
It's like
movie
a Golden
universe.
Corral steak, you know. It's something to eat. yeah, I'm also. I think I'm kind of with you except for maybe because it's still kind of Marvel, I'm a little bit more into it. And
sure.
You said you didn't, you don't remember if you've seen Venom.
I honestly don't remember.
At the end, they did tease this whole Cletus Kasady, Carnage is coming. And I think what Venom is kind of trying to sell is the fact that it is Carnage, and everyone knows, like, it's one of the greatest, Spider-Man villains almost of all time. You know, he's a redhead. It's so menacing. The problem for me, and I don't know if this is a problem yet because we haven't really seen where Sony is going, is that I believe Andy Serkis, who is directing this, said that it's going to have himself. no involvement with Spider-Man. It's not really going to connect to the MCU, which to me, I'm like, I don't know how I feel about that, because Sony on its own has still just been kind of okay with their Spider-Man movies. But then when you team them up with someone like Kevin Feige and everyone at the MCU, it gets better.
Someone talented,
yeah. Yeah. So, you know, Venom 1 was not super memorable. It felt to me like a movie that should have come out in 2008. But it still just, it entertained me just enough to be like, okay, I'll see what they have going on next.
It was very successful. I mean, it got a huge hit, especially abroad. So I understand why they make another one. I mean, as a Spider fan, do you feel hoodwinked? Because we know about, like, the weird legal dealings behind the scenes. People, you don't know about this. Like, where Sony owns the Spider-Man rights, but Spider-Man himself also appears in Marvel movies because Disney paid them, I'm going to guess, approximately all the money to get the character in these movies.
Yeah.
But he's not, like, they share custody of this one character, but Sony has the rights to all the other Spider people. So they're going to make a Venom movie and a Madam Web movie.
Yeah.
Whoever, Morbius, I mean, I don't know who that is, but like, not a hugely popular character or anything.
Yeah.
It is this weird halfway thing where obviously you would want Tom Holland to show up in these things to kick something or spray this thing. But the lawyers would be all over them. Like, and I'm sure, like, most folk just think, like, where's Spider-Man? Venom's here. Like, they're not going to, like, go look this crap up. And why would they? Do you feel hoodwinked at all? Like, should they just do whatever it takes to get him in there? Or do you recognize that, okay, it's a weird legal situation?
I don't mind. This kind of feels like a remnant of a bygone era now, where the Marvel Universe was broken up. You've got the X-Men.
Yeah, it does.
You've got Fantastic Four and the Sony thing going on. But yeah, you're right. Sony held Tom Holland hostage, you know, before Disney paid the big bucks, I'm sure, to bring him back, because I feel like
only
they
imagine
are...
imagine how much money changed hands.
Yeah. I don't want to say jealous, but it feels like they're trying to cling on because they're like the last survivor of these people who have Marvel rights that are no longer owned by... not owned by Disney. So I want to give them, you know, the benefit of the doubt and, you know, maybe see where they go with Venom 2 and with Morbius. I cannot say, you know, in full integrity that it's going to match even the MCU and what they've done, or even some of the new Spider-Man movies.
There's no way.
So it's either like a ticking time bomb before Disney, you know, Disney's this massive just sucking up everything to the point to where they can buy back Spider-Man. But I think Sony is hanging on for dear life. And they're going to try all that they want. So I'm going to give them the time to work Venom out and all that stuff out. But I think everyone wants to see Marvel the way it was meant to be, which is all these characters across Fantastic Four and X-Men and Avengers and Spider-Man coming together, doing what they do best.
But not at the cost of making a corporate trust that needs to be busted.
You know what?
If the price of keeping Disney from having its hands on absolutely everything is that we don't get the best Spider-Man movies, I am willing to pay that price.
I will say it might have been different if Marvel itself retained the rights to all of its characters, maybe not under the Disney umbrella, because it's Marvel. Marvel, you know, owns Marvel stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, when you add Disney on top of it, now Disney's got Star Wars and Disney's got, you know, now they've got Fox and Avatar. Then that's where it gets complicated.
Oh, God, Avatar. I forgot about Avatar.
Yeah.
They have all the anime stuff. They have Pixar. They have everything.
Mm-hmm. I can't blame Sony. Maybe not.
There were some other good trailers about, like, that. Have you watched the one for The Green Knight?
I didn't even know.
You should. Like, that was making a lot of waves.
I thought it came out, or, yeah.
Oh, it was one of those that was, like, gonna come out last year, and then, you know.
So they have a new trailer.
I mean, we're not gonna watch it, but I think it looks really, really cool. It's getting a lot of speed, and I'm not really quite sure why. It's like, it's a King Arthur story, but wait, the twist is it's good. Or that it looks really interesting and cool and kind of artistically shot and moody and atmospheric in a way that looks intriguing. I'm looking forward to that one. Oh, we got a Stranger Things 4 teaser looking pretty good.
Yeah.
About Eleven's asylum life or before she got out, which is always good, creepy horror movie cliche kind of thing, which I love. Beyond that, that was the wrong word, cliche. Horror movie staple. There you go. That's the one. Again, no sleep, cat. And medical. Beyond that stuff, Mia, are you watching anything? Beyond trailers? Rather than watching what you're going to watch, watching anything in full?
Exactly. Yeah, I'm still keeping up with The Bad Batch. They aired episode 2 last Friday, and it's still decently really good. And I do like that they've gone back to, the first episode was like 70 minutes, and now they've kind of gone to that like under 30 minute episode. So it's really easy and digestible. And
that's nice. Yeah.
I don't know if this is Stockholm syndrome where I'm just like so embedded in Star Wars I have no choice, but I legitimately think that the animated TV shows now are providing enough tempting lore in Star Wars history to where I'm like actually motivated to watch them and not pass it off as a kid's show. So like they introduced some really interesting concepts in The Bad Batch about like why did the clones in Order 66 turn, and you know what happens to if you're a clone and maybe you didn't turn, where do you run, where do you hide, you know, what evil things are the Empire doing now that they are taking control of the galaxy? So it's like, I think we had this conversation with Chelsea last week. You still have to like want to care this in depth about Star Wars. If you're like, no, I just like the movies, then you probably won't care about watching the shows because they're a lot. But I've been enjoying it so far. It's fun. Cool. It's fresh. Yeah.
I watched the first episode. I didn't watch the most recent one. Maybe I will, especially if it's only like 20 minutes.
Yeah, have it on the background.
I don't like doing that. Like, have it on the background. Like, what's the... Then I'm not really watching
I know. I always say I'm going to do that. And then I'm like, oh, what's going on? I'm like, I may as well just give it my full attention.
Something about it doesn't quite have me fully on board, but I will try to get on board.
Yeah, that's the thing I'm saying. It's like, you either really care or you really don't. It kind of feels like there's no in between. Like, I really want to know about this, or I'm happy to just kind of accept, you know, the movies and let that be that.
I mean, like, I was into The Mandalorian. Like, honestly, yeah. I wanted to watch that a lot. Something about this isn't really pulling me in. As Julie says, she left Fear the Walking Dead, which, that had a big episode this past Sunday. A very artistic sort of a departure.
Good stuff going on over on Undead Walking. I'm
watching
out
the Nevers too.
Yeah. Oh,
are you
keeping
up with that? I mean, you did. This would have been a new one. Did you partake of the latest Nevers?
No, I feel like I want to wait till they all come out so I could just binge it all the way
through.
There's
only one more.
Wow, that went by so fast.
It's a weird thing because like
six.
Well, like okay, it's a weird thing. Like they were supposed to shoot more, but then guess who came knocking? Mr. Pandemic. So it's this one, and the next one is the last one for this chunk. I don't know if they're gonna go shoot the rest of the season one episodes, or they're gonna wait and see how it did, or what.
I see.
But I'm still liking it, Julie. I'm definitely, again, I'm into the distinctiveness of it. I like how singular it is. I like how different it feels. I like the point of view, which is just very quirky and a little strange, off kilter. I like the dialogue that is sort of twisty in a way that, like, you have to pay attention to kind of get all the little twists and pirouettes and nuances, which I enjoy. that latest episode, it is like a little frustrating. It feels like it has so many ideas that it kind of like is just rushing ahead of itself sometimes, especially this latest one. Like, it was getting all into this, they're trying to like find, I think, that alien ship thing that gave them all the powers in the premiere, but like they don't say it, and it already has a name, but I was never told the name. And there's a character just kind of is part of the group now, even though he didn't really get integrated in any way. Like, it just seems to skip a lot. Mm. And I wish it would slow down. But I also kind of admire, like, the headlong energy it has. Like, it's so full of crap it wants to do that it just can't contain itself.
Yeah.
I do appreciate that about it. And it is... I like that it's made with intent and heart. You know, you can tell people cared about this. Mm-hmm. You can tell Joss Whedon cared about this, which is unfortunate. But he's gone. And I would be very curious. I am very curious to see if they show up, what it will be like since he's now out of the picture. I'm definitely mm-hmm. curious about that. But yeah, I'm still enjoying it. And I want to see more. As Christian says, watching The Masked Singer and Julie watching Days of Our Lives. Both respectable choices. I have not seen... Somehow I managed to avoid The Masked Singer. I don't quite know how. I watched American Idol back in the day, but that was my last dalliance with the singing...
The
singing shows.
Aww.
You ever indulged in those, man?
I kind of watched The Masked Singer, or I would just kind of like pop in on it for like the first season. Then it seemed like they would have a new season like every month. And I was like, whoa, how... And now they've got like The Masked Dance or something.
Nice. Ooh, that must be hard.
Yeah, it I don't know. It seems fun and entertaining. I was going to mention really quick that Richard was kind of in with me on this call. I had my interview today with Joel McHale.
Joel McHale.
Yeah, you know him from Community. He's host of The Soup, and he's also on Stargirl. I was trying to wrangle out of him some stuff about Stargirl because his character was like in the very beginning, he played Starman. And I don't watch this, so I'm just like going based off of Wikipedia basically. And I found out that there was this twist where it's like you think his character is dead, but then someone with his name shows up mysteriously. And it was so funny. We were on like two different wavelengths. I didn't know the show. He filmed the show, but I don't think he knew that the finale aired like a whole year ago in August. He's like, Mia, how do you know this information? How do you know I'm back? And I was like, I read it on Wikipedia. I don't really.
You were there, man. You were on screen, man.
So I tried to wrangle out, you know, maybe some teasers about season two for Stargirl, because I think that's coming up either in August or sometime really soon. But he's like, no, I'm there. And, you know, you'll just have to find out what happens to my character when we return. So it sounds like
it's
really
pretty good.
It's pretty interesting. A character who it sounds like Reddit is saying like he faked his death or something, and somehow that's going to shake up the whole universe.
He didn't mention the long rumored Community movie, did he?
I did ask him about that, and he said it seems more plausible now. I think maybe because
that's
of
true.
Streaming networks and Netflix and stuff, but he was like, they kind of at this point they need the funding for it. It's like,
right.
Do you think, you know, with this demand now, like someone or like Netflix is going to pick up on that and be like, hey, we need to get a movie going?
Also, getting like Donald Glover back, with everything he's doing now.
That's
I don't know, it
might
be pretty hard. You know that like the sixth season of that show aired on like Yahoo streaming.
Yeah,
which was
I didn't know that was a thing. Yeah, that's where I remember the quality was kind of like iffy after that. But I still enjoyed. You know, I enjoyed his character and the whole ride was just it was so it was such an awesome conversation. It was like because he's a comedian, so it was kind of like me being in improv class again. It was like I had to be on my toes for like every single question.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
I love him. He's great. I also got a stump really quick before we go. For a couple of, I'm watching documentaries, I don't know, left and right lately on HBO Max. They have so many good ones. Alan V. Farrow, I finished. Really good. Really disturbing. I can't enjoy Woody Allen anymore, but it was a really good documentary. Cue Into the Storm. Again, great. The guys behind 8chan. Like, that's one of those stories that, like, you could not make this up.
Oh,
like, these people are so... like you just wouldn't think someone would act this way. Like you couldn't invent them.
Yeah,
the
that
folk who
were
behind
my
this.
List.
So it was very interesting. And again, a little disturbing, but in a different way. Like the banality of evil kind of disturbing. And then finally, I just started watching The Crime of the Century, which is about the opioid crisis and the Sackler family and Purdue Pharma. Also really good. So if you want a good documentary, HBO Max, man, is where it's at.
I like documentaries. It's just I like sitting and watching like a 2-hour documentary. Like there was the one that I think the Obamas produced about the factory in Ohio and, the relationship with China. I really like that. But it's the series that gets me. I was like, I don't want to commit to see. I just want to see like 2 hours on a certain subject and get it and get out. But
see, like documentaries, those I can kind of put on in the background for some reason.
Really?
Like that I allow myself to. Like, writing emails or like, folding laundry or doing this or something, like that's really perfect for that for me. But I can't do that with like dramas or something for some reason. I don't know. I had a reaction to those. But yeah, I recommend all of those things. Anything else you want to mention, Mia, before we wrap up for today, Wednesday, May 12th?
No, I think that is quite it. We've got a shake up on our show these next 2 weeks because you and I will both be out at various times.
Yeah, I'll be out next week because I'm getting my shot and I'm planning to be convalescing. And then you'll be out the week after that. But we'll have replacements. We'll have some guests coming in here to sub.
Show must
I think
go
I've missed
on.
Exactly one. I think I've missed the show one time in my entire show that I've been doing it when I was like literally in another country. So I don't do it lightly. But
I forgot about that trip. Yeah, that was a long, long time ago. But yeah, you've got good attendance. You're getting your shot, so you're excused. I'm not going to write you up to the principal or anything.
All right. Well, we'll see you either next week or the week after that. There are episodes on both those days, but we won't both be here both those days. In the meantime, you can watch us, listen to us in podcast form on iTunes, Google Play, wherever podcasts are available. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. And I hope we see you all soon. You have a lovely evening. Goodbye.
Bye.
This podcast is brought to you by FanSided. Join our community of over 300 sites from sports to pop culture and everything in between.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.